Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight is Monday. I've got your number. I'm your host, Lois Martin, and of course with me is Joanna Garfi McNally. How are you, Jo?
Okay. I know I'm lying. Go ahead. Tell me I'm lying. No. I'm okay. If the computer, if it comes on, we're okay.
Okay, well, I got you covered, so not to worry. I hope everybody had a great weekend, new moon. It was the first of the year. I hope you're still reeling and rocking and rolling with it. According to some of our astrology friends, they say that we will be rocking and rolling, and it all could look pretty good. So that's a good thing. I can't believe, Joe, that this weekend is the 1st of February already.
I know. I can't believe it either. It's like, where the heck did January go?
I don't know. I don't know the answers, you know. I was just talking to our wonderful guest, Rudy Hunter, about that. It just seems to be spiraling so quickly, so quickly. You know, even had a talk with Peter Marks about it. It's like, what is happening? Like, everything is spinning out of control. I don't want to say out of control, but making us feel a little off kilter. So I'm glad we're getting that back in, in validation that it isn't just us going off our rockers.
Yeah. I mean, everything you read, even on the on Facebook or whatever, you talk to everybody, it's like, where did the month go? Who's, you know, like, who's stressed out, who's doing this, who's, everybody seems to be, like, stressed. It's
exactly.
on a high note.
Well, that's why we have Rudy tonight. He's gonna help us make us feel all better. It's like putting a Band-Aid on and say, you're all good, go home.
Never happened.
I just want to make a mention that because we'll get tied up with all this great information. We are here for entertainment and enlightenment. Please, you want to talk to Rudy? Got to push that number one. Let me be just up front. There is no psychic questions for you. This is about questions you might want. Let's start the show and you'll know what I'm saying and you could call. But push that number one. Number two, next Monday, just a reminder, we will be back here with this wonderful young lady. Joanna and I work with her, even George Corey. We're all together. Judy Jarvis. And Judy Jarvis is actually a psychic power animal, the psychic power animal drawings. She's wonderful. And she's going to be talking to us about your psychic your totems, your psychic animal totems. That'll be a very interesting show. That will be on February 3rd, Monday, from 7 to 8. No show this Wednesday again. Anyway, Joanna, is your computer up yet?
Oh, yes. I'm just sending you a message now. I'm in the studio.
There you go. Wonderful. Well, let's welcome this wonderful young man. And this is Rudy Hunter. Rudy Hunter has a heck of a reputation. Would you believe this guy started out in life as a professional dancer and a magician until he had a back injury? Probably he just didn't want to wear those tight tights anymore. That is ridiculous. Anyway, but he somehow learned through effort to help fix his own back. And he went on to develop many energetic body work techniques, the Phoenix technique, Sacred Eight, healing for others, heart, Hunter's emotional alignment, rescue technique. He just goes on and on. He works with people not only here in the USA, but in Canada, Japan, England, Australia. And he's wonderful. And he could even help you by phone. Rudy, we thank you very much for joining us tonight. You're not an easy man to get.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm just delighted to be here. And
I'm also wearing my tight tights, just, you know, just in case.
Oh, I have a visual. Oh, my gosh, that was a visual. Oh, no.
Thanks. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. Rudy, you got people here. I'm sure they're quite interested in wanting to know. Tell us about you. Tell us how we're going to work with this program tonight.
Sure. I'd love to answer any questions. If we can focus a little bit on stress and anxiety, which are two enormous topics, I'll talk a little bit about those. We'll get as many questions answered as we can. Folks who are going to ask questions, what I'd love you all to do is to cut to the kernel or cut to the chase in your questions, which means I don't need the 20-year history of your question. I want to know what's up for you in the moment. That way we can do a lot of questions. And also in the course of our time together, I'm going to make sure that we do some energetic work as a group so that we'll all be able to come back to the recording, which will be archived and available, so that you can lean in and use a couple of tools I'm going to do for both stress and anxiety. That's kind of hopefully the playbook.
Great. Well, you got people here listening to find out what's going on. So we're just going to hand the floor over to you, and here's to a great show.
All right. Awesome. So does that mean we're taking your question?
You're on. It's all yours. Go ahead.
Oh, all right. Let me just talk briefly about stress and anxiety. I want to make an important distinction that you probably haven't heard it explained this way before. And it's a very useful way to understand these two things because they are different. We use stress and anxiety pretty interchangeably because they both feel terrible. But they're two different forms of feeling terrible with very different roots. So stress, if you imagine, my favorite example for stress is a single mom with kids and a job, making a life, maybe growing a business. You know what stress looks like when there are 93 things to do all at once, backwards and heels, and something in those 93,000 things goes a kilter or takes 3 minutes longer. It upsets everything you have to do, and it throws everything out of whack. That's stress. That's the stacking of too much to do, too much to accomplish, too many deadlines. And we know that in our own lives pretty clearly. Anxiety is a different camper. It still is terrible, and the experience of it is terrible. And personal confession: I used to be the poster child for anxiety, so I know it intimately well from the inside out. Anxiety is an irrational set of beliefs about who you are and what you're capable or not capable of doing or becoming or being. And everything frightens you. And I'm not talking about just having 3 bad days in a row where you're scared to look under the couch because of the dust bunnies. I'm talking about the outside frightens you, working frightens you, people frighten you, animals frighten you. It's a very different and extremely irrational set of experiences, whereas stress is very rational. It's a compilation of too much stuff that needs to get done that you'll never do anyway. So understanding these two big forces and whether you're really dealing with a stressful situation or an anxiety-ridden situation can be helpful. And don't get me wrong, they both suck. But we go about solving them a little bit differently.
You know, I know that there is a big difference also between panic attacks and anxiety attacks.
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, and I guess exactly what you're saying relates to this, you know. And I know many people say, oh, I have an anxiety attack or I have a panic attack. Now this is all stress. This is all very stressful on the body. I know.
Well, it is.
Child, I am the science project for the whole science community.
See, there you go. One of the things we never used to believe way back when, we used to think that stress and anxiety were sort of tame, they were growing and they were getting bad, and that somehow they were manageable, sort of. That's not true. Stress and anxiety, and specifically things like panic attacks, drive more people to the hospital with cardiac problems or experiences than almost anything else. So these are very real-world killers that, when untreated, end up in pretty dire situations. It's not uncommon for someone to have a panic attack, whether it's your first or your 15th. They're all terrible. They're all dialed in at 1,000%. And it's not uncommon to go to the hospital, have a full cardiac panel run, only to be medically cleared, but to still feel like you're about to die. And medicine, I mean, bless medicine for being able to scan us in the way that it does. Medicine doesn't have anything to offer someone who's had a panic attack born out of irrational anxiety, because it's not in medicine's wheelhouse. And please don't get me wrong, I love medicine's wheelhouse. It's really, really helpful for the right stuff. So we're left to go home with a hospital bill and this terrible feeling in our chest or our head or our stomach, and figure out what it is that's perpetuating this terrible storm inside us.
I tell you, Rudy, I've seen my daughter have a panic attack. It's going back many, many years ago. I used to have a pet store, so we were going into Jersey. And we passed the area that was during 9/11, and the area where they were bringing everything to, you know, the Jersey Shore over there, and they were bringing, all right. And for some strange, I mean, she was stressed out as it was. I mean, she always had little panic attacks, but I've never seen it happen.
Yeah, it's gruesome.
And I tell you, I was like, I'm driving the car, and I'm like, what do I do? I'm saying to myself, Fred. And she was getting all, I mean, a little out-and-out panic attack. I finally got her to, you know, to calm down or what have you, and she calmed herself down. But it's scary. It is very scary.
It really is. And you bring up something really important. I mean, those of us in New York and Jersey and other places, you know, many of us, myself included, have lost clients and friends and those terrible attacks. But you bring up a really important thing. The location of a traumatic event, even if it's, I mean, I'm going to say just a car accident. There's no such thing as just a car accident. I'm not making it a little thing. But a car accident or a place where you fell off a bike or there was a fire that affected maybe your business, whatever the physical circumstance is, the location itself holds an energetic charge that's a massive trigger for folks who are already stressed out, who are vulnerable to panic disorder.
And that's exactly what happened at that point. We went right past all the area, you know, and everything like that, and she went into panic.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
So later on in our time together, we're going to make sure that we do something important for anxiety so that you'll at least have one more option. There are many more options. I have a lot of free stuff littered on all my sites so that folks who are experiencing spikes in their energetic regulation, panic attacks, difficulties, whether it happens at 3 in the morning or 10 at night, whenever it is, there are a lot of free tools that folks can lean into, but we'll put a couple of tools in this recording, so at least that's a grab-and-hold starting place for those uncomfortable times when you're not sure what to do.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Do you do anything for people who have white coat syndrome?
Yes. The tools that I have will pull down that automatic nervous system spiking that happens when we see someone in a white coat. So the best way to use that is to take 5 or 10 minutes, sit in your car before you have to go in, listen to one of those tools, and it will pull down that autonomic nervous system spike that happens because our blood pressure goes up, all our numbers go up because we're unconsciously tensing against a potential diagnosis, difficulty, bad news, whatever it is. And it's very common. And the medical profession knows very much about white coat syndrome, and they, progressive doctors and nurses and nurse practitioners, are working to help clients deal with that by giving them mostly a little extra time so that they can get back to what is actual normal ranges of numbers for themselves.
Yeah, and a lot of them are also prescribing, I'm not getting into it, but a lot of them are also prescribing now for this hypertension that's very dangerous, medical marijuana.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, instead of you keep taking drugs and, you know, it's a very real disease.
I'm a big fan of meditation. So... Like, meditation and energy work is about my speed. I know it's not everybody's, but it will get you the same results and often better results without manipulating your perception.
Right. So tell us some more over here. Tell us more.
What do you want to know?
What do you want?
I could talk for hours.
I want to know. You say meditation.
Touch of health.
So
help. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Let me play a mind game with you a second. Most common responses from people, very hard for me to meditate. My mind is all over the place. You know the thousand reasons why a person doesn't meditate.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not just so easy to say, well, you could do it. You know, it takes training, it takes perseverance.
And it often takes desperation. That's how a lot of people get to finally put the ass in the seat and be still and watch the monkey mind race, because they are scared out of their mind, which, frankly, is not a bad motivator when you're up against the wall. Because a lot of folks get over the hurdle of themselves by being desperate.
They put into action. They go into action. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's fight or flight. That's where it goes.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. No question about it. What were you going to say, Joe?
I forgot. You can't do this. No, I don't. No, we were talking about blood pressure. So you can't do that at our age. Well, come on. You know, I'm going to track you.
Well, I can give you a very...
I know what I was going to say. I remembered.
Go ahead.
I had to go to the doctor, the dentist, right?
Yeah.
So I'm rushing around out of the house. My blood pressure is usually at a steady thing. It's always right on what have you. So, of course, here I am rushing, right? So I walked in so it was a little bit higher than normal. I go, that's because I just walked in. You know, give me a few minutes to do it again. But I've seen it where, talk about meditation, where I've actually quieted, where I, as a TMer, I used to meditate in the doctor's office on purpose just to play with them sometimes. And I used to meditate.
That's great fun.
Because this one nurse drove me bananas. I did not like her at all, right? So here I am in the doctor's office, and I used to go into my TM meditation while I was talking to her, you know, what have you. And my blood pressure was so low that she had three other people coming in. And was like, oh, my God, it's low. I turned around and said, I'll try it one more time. And then I...
That's fantastic.
She aggravated me. It was like, you know, you're really stressing me out, lady, you know, and I don't need this aggravation. So I used to just quiet myself to get it to where it was supposed to be. But then I used to lower it just a little bit more just to have it get annoyed and try to have to use a whole bunch of different cuffs.
Well, one of the things that's really funny is, believe it or not, and this is a Googleable fact, the way that blood pressure is supposed to be taken by the medical profession is not the way it's taken now. What is supposed to be happening so that the baseline is more reliable is it's supposed to be taken seated first. It's supposed to be taken seated after a 10-minute sitting quietly so that the readings are more accurate. Now, we all know that's not what happens in the doctor's office because there's a lineup of 28 people and modern medicine, blah, blah, blah. But that's actually supposed to be how it happens. So being able to either TM your way or meditate your way down, I'll give folks a really simple, easy way to naturally start to coax their blood pressure down in the moment. And it's an old thing from Asian medicine that's really helpful. And that is, and it sounds too simple until you do it. You make sure you're seated, because that's important, and then you put your attention beneath your feet. Now, folks who meditate will have no problem with this. Folks who have good visualization skills will have no problems. The folks who think they can't do it, the trick is for them to just imagine that their attention is beneath their feet. And that actually is all it takes. In the next couple of minutes of doing that, you'll find that naturally blood pressure sinks where attention goes. So the attention goes down under the feet, the blood pressure follows closely behind it. And that's a very useful thing if you're not, you know, a mm-hmm. knockdown, drag out ninja meditator. So.
Wow, that's interesting.
Never knew that.
Yeah,
why the
to get
feet,
up, right?
Why because, the feet?
Because it's just down, and that's actually the direction you want the blood pressure. It's a way of giving the larger part of who we are instructions to lower. That's really what's happening. And it's,
all
and it's
right, because instead of going high, you're going to go down. Right, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want to raise your blood pressure,
I could visualize it,
You know, you picture it at the top of your head, but I don't recommend that. That's very unpleasant.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you think that has anything metaphorically relating to the soul of the feet? The soul?
It does, but it actually has more correlation to the kidney and heart energy that intermingles at the feet. But, all theories aside, it just works really well. And it's quick.
Mm.
So I'm
all
for that.
That's good to know. Put your attention on your feet. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What other ways of de-stressing or the anxiety? Do we always have to breathe in a paper bag?
Well, you know, it's funny. The breathing in a paper bag thing, I did for a very long time. I'm a recovered adult onset asthmatic. And I had a very rough ride of it for many, many years. I nearly passed away a handful of times because I was stubborn and refused to go on meds, which I'm not sure was the smartest thing looking back. One of the great things about breathing into a paper bag, because I've done it, and it is a lifesaver for folks who have asthmatic breathing disorders, is that it helps up your CO2 faster than anything else in your bloodstream. There are some very, very complicated and very unpleasant to do breathing exercises, which I did for a long time, which can do that as well, but nobody sticks with them because they're awful to do. Paper bag actually recirculates enough CO2 so that the delivery of oxygen is richer in the bloodstream. So
wow.
I wouldn't rule it out. And,
wow.
And yes, by the way, it has to be a paper bag. It can't be any other kind of bag.
Well, thank heavens I got rid of plastic bags then.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have one,
right.
You know, we'll take one from the airport. We do have people here that want to ask some questions, Lois.
Great.
Yeah, well, you ready to go for them?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going? Okay. Let's go on over here. Where are we here? Here she is. Where? I just seen it. Where did it go? Let's go on over here to, I know who this is. Hello, Miss Hawaii. How are you?
Hello, everybody. Good. How are you?
How are you?
How are you doing? How's it going out there in Hawaii? Beautiful Hawaii.
It's going really well. Yes, the sun came out this afternoon, and my rainbow sun capture is lighting up the wall. So it's going well, and thank you for the show. I wanted to make one remark about anxiety and trauma, which I learned from a healer who works with people to heal this, and she would say, repeat to yourself, it was terrible, it's over, and I'm safe now. And, you know,
great.
So you keep acknowledging that how you felt, but you stay, you know, in the present time when, you know, feelings flood back or you get into PTSD. So I find that helpful to do sometimes.
That's a great tip.
I also wanted to ask you about, you know, ways to ground. Like, I actually was feeling a little anxious the last few days, and I think that's just changes, you know, a lot of changes going on. It's like, what do I do next? When that happens, and I'm a healer also, so I'm very much in, you know, in my energy sometimes and, like, up. So I like, my feet, I can't feel my feet, or they kind of tingle, but I don't feel like I'm in my feet. So that was the question I had.
Sure. I have a bunch of quick tips. Just tell me your name so I know who I'm talking to.
Bhavana.
Hi, Bhavana. So here's my short list of easy ways to ground. And grounding energy, I used to believe was this frou-frou, woo-woo, mystical description of something, and then it slowly dawned on me, what we're actually doing is we're looking to complete a bioelectrical circuit. So we really are, just like a third wire in a plug, we're looking to link to the ground to get stability, to get out of anxiety, to get out of higher states and pull things down to the earth. So here's the short list. First is take off your shoes and socks. Second is get off plastic mats and synthetic carpets. I'm not talking about rearranging your entire house and spending thousands of dollars on carpets. Get onto some wood anywhere in your house. It can even be one wood slat you have. but get off anything that's an insulator. If you Google grounding mats, that'll quickly convince you that you don't need to spend thousands of dollars to do what I've just told you to do with fancy equipment. What you need to do is make actual contact with the earth and natural substances through your feet. And not just because we're weirdos, well, present company half included, we are a little weird, but we actually need to make that connection because it has a strong neurological switch that goes off when we do that helps our brain. So I live in the Northeast, and in winter, running outside barefoot is not really an option, or at least for more than 20 seconds is not an option. But here's a couple of ways you can do it. You can soak your feet in apple cider vinegar and or salt water, even for just a few minutes. That has a massive bioelectrical charge. You can take mineral supplementation. That's always a good idea anyway, especially if you're doing healing work or you want to be more in the body. And if you have trouble being aware of your feet or the idea that your feet are too far removed from you somehow, get your shoes and socks off and rub those tootsies. Like massage, sit down and massage them. You can either do that with your hands, which is great, or buy one of the 90,000 cheapy rollers that are available to stimulate the feet themselves. And then I'm a big essential oils fan. I put essential oils on my feet. Anything where the foot is making contact with a natural substance, if you want a trippy thing to do that's really interesting, get a collection of rocks. I mean, in the summertime and the spring, it's really easy. You can go outside where there are already rocks. In the winter, bring some rocks into the house, put them in a tub, and stand on the rocks. Make sure they're not jagged. You'll find that grounds you probably faster than almost anything out there. So there's a short list of things that, you know, you can do in a pinch and quickly that will complete that energetic circuit.
Wow. Rudy, let me, while Bhavana's on the phone, you said essential oils. Can you name a few that you would recommend?
I just go by what I like. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Young Living line. I've worked with those for 20-plus years. But
right.
I usually let my nose guide me to what I'm either in the mood for or what smells pretty or nice. I'm pretty infantile when it comes to that. It's like,
yeah,
oh,
I use
I'll do that.
Yeah.
You know.
I use peppermint from Young Living.
Yeah.
I use
the
peppermint. And I know that also the peppermint is really very, very good with children if they have a hard time sleeping. You know, moms rubbing their feet with the essential oils.
Great stuff.
Yeah. That's great. It really is. I do that every night. I'm on a recliner rubbing my feet every night, you know.
Beautiful.
Yeah. It feels good.
Bob and Art, did that help you?
That was very helpful. Thank you. And it reminded me, I have right on the sofa next to me a earth mat, which I got from a company called Vibes Up. And it's tourmaline, but it's a lot of crystals and plant oil in a mat. And it's she calls them, well, she calls them squishies. It's not a squishy, but I think on her website, they're actually called earth mats. And I put it on the floor, and I put my feet on it just now. So thank you.
Yeah, those grounding mats are awesome. I mean, they're really like bringing a slice of nature into the house so that you can have that natural energetic loop completed in your system. So great. Good.
Thank you so much for that info.
Sure.
Thanks, Bob and Nav. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank
Come
you.
On back next week. We have Judy Jarvis. She's going to be doing your power animals.
Awesome. Thank you. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha,
Aloha.
Darling. Okay. We'll put her on ears in case, and we're going down here to 931-252. Hello, 931-252.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Who are we talking to?
This is Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you. Where are you calling from?
Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. I love the accent. Good, honey. What's your question?
I'm originally not from Tennessee, so I don't think I have much of that accent. This is where I'm living. I love you, Rudy. Thank you so much for all your work. I've been following and utilizing your work for years. You're welcome. Is there a difference between how you handle anxiety when it's complex PTSD based? You know, you came up in a childhood, and so I've spent most of my life in fight, flight, or freeze, trying to retrain my brain, but I have frequent anxiety. I just was curious, is there a different treatment for anxiety when that's the base of it?
That's a great question, Michelle.
That is a great question. Very good, Michelle.
The real trick to it, and you already know about my work in this area, I'm a big fan of never re-traumatizing yourself, because back in the 80s and 90s, we thought that we had to go and relive through things, and what turns out to be re-traumatizing ourselves. We were working under the false assumption that we would get better by getting worse. That's never my approach. And when you have a very long history or a very severe history that is in the category of PTSD, what you have to be is two things. You have to be meticulous, and you have to be gentle. And those have to always be in play. And I'll give you a really good example of this. I have a very short audio that's available on my blog. And you can just Google it. It's called the PTSD Dissolver. And it's short, but it sets up how to take one difficult, charged memory and dismantle it gently. And there's another tool as well, if you're Googling around for stuff. On YouTube, I put a slightly longer process called the Negative Memory Dismantler. And those are the two tools that I usually point folks with PTSD, firemen, policemen, sexual abuse survivors, folks who come from abusive backgrounds, you name it, the list goes on and on. I point them to those tools to really practice with a memory first, and then practice with another one, and practice with another one. And the reason we're practicing this while we're dissolving the energetic charge in them is so that the accumulation of memories doesn't race ahead of us, because that you can jackpot yourself with, and that's where people end up in trouble. So the meticulousness is crucial, and the ability to be gentle with yourself. I lead folks through these tools, so I'm about as gentle as it comes. I also promise that there's no chance of having you re-traumatize yourself. My slogan is, you know, we live through it once, and once is enough. And
wow.
The other thing that isn't talked about very much, I mean, most of my practice is dealing with folks with stress and anxiety in some horrible form. And that is the downtime is even more important than the time you're working with the tools. So what that means is you give yourself a break between the using of these tools so that your nervous system has time to integrate a new baseline for yourself. It's really crucial. I have some keeners, and I'll admit to being one too, that, you know, they discover a tool that works and they go, oh, I'm going to do that every day for a month and then I'll be all
better.
Yeah,
that's me.
so the official
been
word
there,
is,
got the t-shirt.
Yeah, cut that out. That is, I mean, I understand the sentiment, but it's not kind to ourselves, and it also is too fast for the nervous system. So doing a tool one day, taking a day or two off, and then doing it again, even though we're excited to have more success, honestly, that's the gentle path that will help the nervous system the most.
Thank you.
Michelle, while you're on, can we do a little process here?
Sure.
Great. Here's, and I want you to stay completely out of content with us. That means I don't want any details. I don't want you to tell anybody any details here because that will make them starting hallucinating that they know what your deal is. It's not only none of their business, but it will distract them. So what I want you to do for me is we're going to just use a 10-point scale. 10 is the worst. 1 is fine. In this moment, do you have a specific stressor, a specific piece of anxiety that you've been working on?
Yes. Which one?
I want you to I want you to decide which one, because you got to stay with that one while we do this process. But give me only the starting number, nothing else about it. So how high
between
is it?
7 and 8.
Okay.
Between there.
All right. Let's err on the side of caution. We'll call it an 8. Why not, right?
Okay.
All right. So do you have a free hand?
Yes.
Good. Take your free hand, put it over your belly button for me. Now, your job in this is really simple, but our brains are sneaky. Our brains want to go everywhere else but where I'm going to suggest. So I'm going to ask you to just keep your attention under your hand, which is over your belly button, on the 8-point whatever it is. All right? I'll go silent for about a minute or so, and during that silence, I'll do a little woo-woo, and then we'll just check. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So hand over the belly button. You got your number 8 in there, whatever the issue is. And here we go. Okay, Michelle, take an easy breath for me. And I just want you to check, be honest with me, is the 8 still an 8 or is it less?
Less.
What's the new number?
2, maybe, 2, 2.5.
Okay, let's err on the side of caution. Let's call it a 3.
Okay.
It's in that middle range, right? So hand back on the belly button for me. Again, you're not going to give us any content at all. That number 3 is tucked in there. That's the issue. Here we go. Okay, Michelle, easy breath for me. And then check that 3 for me and tell me, is it still a 3 or is it dropped?
It's dropped.
To what?
1.
Perfect. So here's the most important set of details I'm going to give you. Because you're part of the Keener Club, like myself, you are not allowed, hear me?
Yes, I
not allowed for the next 2 days to find out the replay link of this audio, look it up, and do this 100 times. So that is, you are That's not going to happen. You're going to leave yourself alone, and to the best of your ability, you're not going to fuss too much about this pretty amazing thing that just happened, because it's, you know,
okay,
cool. You're just going to go about life. Yeah, good. That's by the way, that feeling good, that's more of you emerging without the anxiety, just so you know.
Oh,
so
wow.
After that point in time, you can do it occasionally, but don't overdo it, all right?
Okay.
And if any of your friends hear you on the recording and they say, oh, what was the thing you were working on, you're going to promise me, you're going to say, Rudy said, it's none your business. That you can quote me, right? It's nobody's business, because they will get distracted by it.
Okay.
And that's how the energy work can help us become more of who we are, by pulling back that shadow of the anxiety. So, yay.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. I'm just thrilled to bits.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Come on back
thank
again.
Thank you so very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
And for
you
everybody.
That was pretty good. Rudy, how did people find you? How do we find you?
You just go to rudyhunter.com. It'll lead you to all the tools and all the sites, and you know, you just the whole game here is you lean into the free stuff. You see what works. You see if it's your cup of tea. It's not. I'm not for everybody. I mean, I think I'm generally fairly amusing, but I'm still not for everybody. But the folks who are suffering, I know how to help that energetically without re-traumatizing, without pain. So the real game is to go find the tools that work, and while you're there, you sign up for the newsletter, you stay in the information loop, because I always have new stuff coming out. That's part of my passion in this work. And
Rudy, I'm to think that you do your healing work over the phone, correct, with people, because you have clientele.
Absolutely.
Is that
I do.
So?
It's great. I have a terrible problem, which is I'm popular, and I have this horrible, horrible waiting list, which I'm a little embarrassed about. I have an 8-plus month waiting list for private sessions, and I know from my client's point of view, it's terrible. So I offer a lot of work for smaller groups on issue-specific things. So there's always stuff going on that you don't have to wait for forever to get to be part of to receive some of this work.
Wow, 8 months, I could be dead by then. Holy moly, all right.
You and me both. it's an embarrassment to me. So.
Well, don't be embarrassed. Listen, you know what? Obviously, people have great faith in you, and you have the great faith in yourself to do this. So you're gifted, man. Don't even go there.
Yes. Yes, don't even, yeah.
Thank you. That's
don't even go there.
Thanks.
That's nonsense. Put your hand over your belly button. I want
exactly.
you to take a
And I want
deep
you to work with that. That's it. Good.
But anyway.
By the way, on the archive of this recording, once folks have figured out where that process with the lovely Michelle is, that's a tool that you can use. When I embed something in a recording like this, I make darn sure it's active for forever. So your name doesn't have to be Michelle. And you notice I made sure she didn't tell us what her issue is, because it's none of our business. That means that you can go back with your stuff and use that energy work as much as you like, and it will stay as active whenever you get to it because of the way it's embedded.
Wow.
Which is pretty fun.
It is pretty cool. It is pretty cool. Let me ask you again. We have a couple of minutes left. If anybody wants to go further here, I have another person. I don't know. Sometimes they just push buttons. They don't know what they're doing. On no offense, but let me find out. This is 239-450. Hello. Okay. They just like pushing my buttons, but that's okay. I'm glad that you're with us and listening.
Literally and figuratively, yes.
That's okay. No problem with that. They're always with us and supporting us, but they like to be quiet, and that's fine. That's fine. Anyway, Rudy, I'm going back here to the stress, the anxiety. What is your professional opinion with all of the crazy stuff that people listen to on the television, the news, and so forth? In your opinion only,
yeah.
Do you think people should listen? Do you think people, do you think that it's getting worse and it's just creating havoc in a person's mind?
In my professional opinion, as being someone who has actively avoided the news for now about 20 years, I can tell you that it's one of the, for some people, it's one of the hardest things they'll ever try and give up, unless they were a smoker, in which case, you know, that'll be number one. But number two will be giving up the news. Because there is a fantastic level of seduction in bad news.
Right.
And I'm still not entirely sure whether that's hardwired into us as people. I tend to think not. I think the habit base of it is stronger. But it's the same glee we get from watching comedy where an old lady gets knocked down the stairs. We find ourselves laughing because it's funny, because someone has some sort of misfortune in the context of comedy, which is why it works. I think it's the same thing going on with us. So here's a way to not give two hoots about what I think or my opinion, because that doesn't matter for anybody listening. The way to know if this is for you or not is to take a limited time vacation from, for example, news, radio or TV. And let me tell you what happened in my experience. I stopped watching TV news because it was awful, and by the way, it was always bad. And spoiler alert, it's still bad today, just FYI. So I thought I was going to be a nice East Coast, clever, educated person and only listen to news from NPR, National Public Radio. So I did that for a couple of weeks, and because I didn't see graphic images, I thought it was better. And then I listened to the stories, and I thought to myself, you know what? This is the same bad news with a better vocabulary. It's just as awful, but described a little more artfully. So here's my suggestion. Take a 10-day break, and by break I mean not sneaking around to listen to just the headlines. A 10-day complete break from radio, TV, social media, news, and notice after the first few days, after your cravings subside a little, how much more kind you feel in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of 10 days, you go, do I want to feel this kind? Or would I rather be, you know, laughing at the horrors that are happening? Only you can decide that, but it's a way to actually know if it has a massive effect on you or not, irrespective of, you know, what I think or anybody else does.
Right.
You know what I find, you know, you mentioned, go ahead, Lois.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you mentioned something about, you know, the old lady falling down the, you know, falling down and people laugh at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, some of those, every now and then, not very often, I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I don't know if it was at my daughter's or someplace, they were watching Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah.
And I said, I do not see anything funny about these people getting hurt, and everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Very fine line between cruelty and comedy.
I know. I think it's so sad.
Fun.
But then again, think of when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
All the cartoons that we used to watch when we were young,
mm-hmm.
the black and white ones when we went to the movies or whatever, it was always somebody beating somebody up, even in the cartoons.
Absolutely. We're good at one thing, that we know.
We beat each other up?
Yeah, of course we do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's,
absolutely.
I don't miss it. I don't miss it if I don't see television. I don't really miss it if I don't, you know, see a paper or what have you. I mean, so many, probably good 10, 15 years or more, and I never watched, I didn't watch television. I didn't even read a newspaper. I was lucky if I knew who the president was, you know, what have you. Because I did so much traveling and everything else, I just didn't find interested in it. I like to watch a comedy, you know, maybe a sitcom comedy that's nice, you know, not whatever. So, yeah, you're right. You know, it's staying away from it really does make a difference.
And it,
put
it
on
really
the news, and I'm like, get it off,
yeah.
Get it off.
And
I don't want to
hear it.
It
really shows you what it is that you're jonesing for. In those first few days when you start missing something, you may miss the violence. You may miss the name-calling. You may miss the internal criticism of what people look like. Whatever it is, people are wired very differently. But it pops right up so that you can at least see that this is the thing that you're actually craving to have happen. Yeah.
Rudy.
Yeah.
You kind of like, I think, if I'm, maybe I'm just saying in a different terminology, I don't know. In a great way, what you do is actually help people focus on mindfulness, which is actually, you know, observing your thoughts, your feelings, sensations, right? Without the self-judgment or...
Well, that's true. That's a very big step in what I do. The problem is that there aren't a lot of practices that tell you what to do next. Like, even if you take mindfulness stuff is great. If you take traditional mindfulness courses, it's very common to get stuck in a place where you go, oh, I keep saying this horrible thing to my neighbor, and I can't stop myself, and I see myself saying it, and I can't keep my mouth closed. And it's possible to get very stuck because you need something that happens after that awareness to change the pattern. And there aren't a lot of modalities that do that. There are some. I'm a big fan of my own because, you know, I have a vested interest in it. But I've always said to people, if you fall in, I only deal with people and animals who are in situations where they've fallen into a ditch, where they're stuck. So when you're stuck in a ditch, you need someone who's external to that ditch with a rope and a map. They not only need to find you and get you out, they need to know where to go next. Because in my estimation, those steps are the critical pieces for never returning back to the ditch. Because that's really the goal. And awareness and mindfulness certainly is a huge piece of it, but it's not enough just to be aware of it.
Right.
What is the I know that you did the Phoenix technique, and you probably don't have enough time to tell us this. What is the Hunter's Emotional Alignment Rescue Technique? Is that the one you developed?
Yeah, I've developed a lot of different tools. This one took off like wildfire. It's Hunter's Heart. It's the clumsy acronym for HEART. And it's a way of changing feelings in less than 3 minutes. And a lot of practitioners who have clients and just people who have loved ones grab this. It was the thing I was going to write a book about. And I wrote it, and I rewrote it, and I rewrote it, and then eventually I went, I could rewrite this for forever. I'm just going to put it on audio, and it'll be done, and I put it out. And folks started working with it and had some remarkable experiences. They're still having remarkable experiences. And subsequent to that, I think there are 3 more levels of it. And I never anticipated doing more with it, except more ways of working with it just become apparent as you work with it. It's based on ancient Chinese medicine, and it's a way of working in a very clipped 3-minute sequence so that you can feel better and get on with it. So, you know, I'm a big fan.
Well, you got my attention, that is for sure.
Yay!
Rudy, now the body technique. Go ahead, Lois.
How do people sign up for you? How do they get to your newsletter?
The easiest, you can get through to any of the sites. I'll tell you all of the sites, but any one of them will lead to all the others. The easiest one is rudyhunter.com. The next one is huntershealingcalls.com. And then the practitioner training site that I run, because I teach people how to do a lot of this work, is called the ashworkerstraininghub.com. That's way too long. But they're all mixed together so that if you sign up for newsletter, the private newsletter on any one of those sites, you'll be in the information loop and get all of the goodies and all of the updates. Can we do one
Great.
Little process? Cause
yes,
I,
go right
I
ahead.
I promised to do a little stress thing.
Yeah, we're almost done out of time. Go ahead, hon.
You
have enough
what
time,
I just
yes.
noticed. All right. So think of a stressor that you have. Give it a number. Don't tell us what the stressor is. Let's have you both do this, if you would. So, ladies, what numbers are you at?
What is what? One is good and 10 is...
Yeah, 10 is take me to the hospital.
You want my number? I got your number.
I want both your numbers quickly.
10.
10 and...
8.
10 and 8. All right. Don't give us any more information. Hand over the belly button. We're going to do this differently now. I know it'll sound the same, but it's not. Put your attention on the stressor and any idea that you can't deal with or can't figure it out, can't make sense of it. All right? Keep your attention there. I'll be back in just a minute. Okay, let's check in. 10 and 8, what are the numbers now?
I have to say a 9.
9 and?
Mine went down to a 5.
9 and a 5. I want you both to put your attention on this one idea. The idea is I'm not up to the task of dealing with this. All right? You're going to focus on that idea. I'm not up to the task of dealing with this. Hold on, I'll be right back to you. Okay, let's check in. Give me your numbers.
8
and?
Between 3 and 4. I say 3.
Okay. All right. 8 and 3. Let's go for one more round, then I'll tell you what to do if your number doesn't drop as far down as we'd like.
Okay.
Again, same idea. This time, put your attention on the sensation of stress in your body. So if it makes you feel constricted or nauseous or headachy or however it makes you feel sensation-based, all right, here we go. Okay, big breath for me first, and then give me your numbers.
Between a 1.5 and a 2. Go ahead, Lois.
I was going to say about a 7.
Great. So we started high for both of you. One of you dropped faster than the other. Here's the important information. It ain't a contest. And the good news is that sometimes is a little hard to see. The fact that we made any progress is miraculous. That's proof we're not actually stuck in the stress. So here's what you do. Whether you ended up at a 3, a 7, an 8, a 2, whatever the number is, you come back to this gently tomorrow, and you run through just as many times as we ran through on the recording. So you lean into the recording, you just do it again, and then you see. And when you get to a place you like, somewhere in the 1-2 category, might take a couple of days, might be done tomorrow, you then take a vacation from it for a few days, and you know that that piece of stress is done. That's a way to be gentle with your nervous system and to ensure that the progress that you made stays done.
Huh.
And again, you two will promise not to tell anybody who asks you what your stress was about because it's none of their business.
Correct.
Good.
Right, right.
That's how we do it. We keep it gentle that way.
That's fascinating.
Wow.
Boy, Rudy, you are something else. You're like, you really are a wealth of information, and you have very intense listeners here. I don't think anybody wanted to talk about their stuff. They wanted to hear what you had to say. So, folks, if you want to go talk to Rudy, get his newsletter, RudyHunter.com. It's R-U-D-Y, Hunter, H-U-N-T-E-R. We love you. We thank you. We'll be seeing you soon. Our best to our good friend,
thank you,
George, when you see
thank
him.
Thank you, my darlings. Great to hang out with you and just do the work. Thanks.
We will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Thank you, everyone.
Come on back Monday, Judy Jarvis. What's your animal totem? We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye.